Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I'm Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7 while bringing you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Come visit our website, read our articles, listen to the podcasts, go to our store, join our club, and so much more to help us raise money for the kids at the hospital. But as you know, I also contribute to the website SteelCityUnderground.com, so please go to that site, read all of the articles by the many, many great columnists who cover the Steelers, the AFC North, the NFL in general, and so much more. Articles, podcasts, videos, contests, and everything that you could possibly want surrounding the Steelers at SteelCityUnderground.com. So please visit either site and get all the information you could possibly need about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And just one note before I get into the show, SteelNationAssociation.com, we are going to do a breast cancer push for Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in October. So we are going to donate anything that you guys contribute this month as far as memberships or anything that you buy out of the store. We are going to contribute an additional 20% of our funds. Remember, we already do 40 to children's. We're going to do another 20 to breast cancer research and awareness. So please help us this month as we are going to do a massive push. But let's get into it here. So the Steelers are now 1-2-1 after the mess against the Ravens this past Sunday night. I don't even know what to say. I actually thought they were going to win that game. They go down 14-0. 14-3, and then it looks like it's about to be 21-3. They make the defensive play there with the recovery of the fumble, thanks to Sean Davis and then Terrell Evans with the recovery, which was a great defensive stand. It regains momentum for the team. They obviously go and own the second quarter, tie it up at 14, and you think, all right, here we go. This team's going to get on a roll, and it's not going to be just for this game, but it's going to be for the season. And then they get shut out in the second half for the second consecutive week. The offense does not score in the second half. I've been real harsh on the defense through these first four games. I thought they played slightly better against the Ravens, but they looked like crap, of course, in the first quarter, and they just didn't get enough done in the second half. But the offense hasn't looked so great either. They didn't look good for three out of the four quarters against the Ravens. They didn't look good in the second half against the Bucks. They had their struggles against the Chiefs early. They had their struggles against the Browns in the first week. And while I think Ben Roethlisberger is still all-world and top five in the league, he needs some help. I mean, he needs some help. And he also needs to play better. And he took blame for the loss against the Ravens. He was partially at fault, but I don't think it was all him. I think the defense has issues. I think the running game on the offensive side has issues. I wrote about that actually earlier this week where, you know, I've been singing James Conner's praises, and I still like him. I think he's good. I think he can run the ball well. I think he can catch the ball out of the backfield, but he's clearly not Le'Veon Bell. And while I had been preaching that he could easily replace Le'Veon Bell after a month of games and a 1-2-1 start, I'm ready to relinquish that and say he can't. Now, is a running back worth $14, $15, $17 million, whatever it is that Bell wants? Obviously, it doesn't really matter for this season. There's no more negotiating, but that's the issue, you know, moving forward. It's hard to say, but when you have a running back like Connor, who's only averaging 3.2 yards per carry, maybe it's time to bring Bell back and not worry about trading him this season and just move on from him after next year and maybe draft his replacement there. I don't know. But I think at this point, Le'Veon Bell has won this standoff because the Steelers are struggling, and they are struggling on offense, not to mention how poor the defense is. I just think that his presence will help the offense. I think it will free up, believe it or not, Antonio Brown, who's really not having a very good year so far. And more importantly, probably will help the defense because the offense can have a more ground control, clock grinding type of style that they just can't do right now. They just can't do it right now. This team needs to keep their defense on the bench and have 5, 7, 9 minute drives because opposing offenses shred this defense. The front line hasn't done anything. Stephon Tuitt and Cam Hayward have been disappointing through the first month, let's face it. The linebackers aren't that good. I know we have to stop the narrative of replacing Ryan Shazier, but, you know, they haven't been able to do that. Bostic's not that guy. They don't have a great set of linebackers. I mean, Bud Dupree might be their best linebacker at this point through the first month. He's had a relatively decent first month. And so, you know, that's not really what they need. They need Dupree, of course, but TJ Watt needs to step it up. 1 month in after the Cleveland game, those next three games, he's been marginal at best. Vince Williams, average. And they're just not doing it. The secondary is garbage. Although Sean Davis has been pretty solid. I have to give it to him. Sean Davis has been pretty solid. You know, Joe Hayden, he's decent, but he's gotten burned a few times. He's missed a game with an injury. Artie Burns just flat out sucks right now. I think he sucks. I'm close to calling him a bust in his third year here. I mean, that might be a little bit harsh, but he's not a number one corner. I don't think he's a number two. He's been relegated to, you know, a bench role slash a utility guy where they're going to rotate with Sensabaugh. And that's kind of going to lead into this next week here. So against Atlanta, what are they going to do? Now, the Falcons, they're 1-3. The Bengals just went in and won on the last, you know, 5-6 seconds of the game. The Falcons have a shitty defense, quite frankly. But does that matter? Because so do the Steelers. The Steelers' defense and the Falcons' defense are two of the worst in the league. It's going to be a high-scoring, high-powered game offensively. But if the Steelers struggles against a defense like they did against the Ravens, where they can't run the ball, then this game's going to go to the Falcons. And that concerns me, because I wonder, you know, Matt Ryan right now has over 1,300 yards. He's got 10 touchdowns, only 2 picks, so he's taking care of the ball. He's got Julio Jones out there with 500 yards through the first 4 weeks, who's a monster, who hasn't, for some reason, scored a touchdown at all in this season, and it's been a while since last season, if I recall. So he's due. And I think they're just going to take the top off the Steelers' defense and just bomb them. Why wouldn't they? They haven't run the ball well this year. Tevin Coleman's been filling in for Devonta Freeman. Word is Freeman has a real good chance of playing this Sunday, and that too could be a problem for the Steelers, because Freeman is a top back in this league. Now, how much he'd play coming back from the injury would be debatable, but they need to certainly play much better defense. They need to get their blitzers home. They need to provide help in the secondary. You know, if they have to give up the run to save the pass, then that's something they're going to have to consider. If they can stop them at 3-4 yards a carry, because I'm looking at a game in the mid-30s for both teams at this point between these two horrible, horrible defenses. But that puts a lot on Connor, because I think the proof is in the pudding here. The Steelers cannot rely on Ben Roethlisberger to throw this ball 40, 50, 60 times. They don't win when that happens. It's not a recipe for success. It's not. And so they need to limit him, I think, to under 35 throws. They need Connor to run the ball effectively 20 times, maybe 25 times, at a clip of 4 yards per carry so they can grind out the clock. They need to get Antonio Brown the ball in the big splash play type of way. He's had a few catches, of course. He had a touchdown last week, but he's not making the plays that he normally makes. And he and Ben look off. They just look off. And I know that teams are double and tripling Brown, so we can't discount that. And Juju's been the beneficiary of that with some really good games. And I think Juju is a great receiver. But they need AB to be AB. And I don't believe that he has taken any kind of step backwards overnight. I still think he's the best receiver in the world. And they need to get a way to get him involved more so to show that. You get AB 8, 9, 10 catches for over 100 yards and a touchdown, now you're in business. He needs to make those big plays over the top. And he can, but it hasn't happened yet. And I'm telling you, part of that reason is because Le'Veon Bell is not there to scare these defenses. They don't have to really worry so much about that underneath game, because even the little dump-off passes aren't going to net the yards that Le'Veon Bell typically nets when he catches the ball. So that's something that they need to think about and consider, you know, going into this week. And then the word is that Le'Veon will be back during the bye week. So they'll be, I believe, 7 games in at that point. So he'll play the final 9. I don't think the Steelers trade him at this juncture. I don't think it's really that easy to do. I think that they might realize again in a couple more weeks with the trade deadline still about a month away that they do need him. Now, he thinks that there's a chance, or he says at least, that there's a chance that he'll sign with the Steelers long term. I think that's very, very minimal. I'd put that at less than 15 or 20% chance. But I do think they'll use him this year, and I think they'll work him. I think they will run him into the ground when he comes back in a few weeks. Until then, they need to survive. They need to survive. So they need to beat the Falcons. And then I believe they've the Bengals next. They need to win that game. They absolutely need to win that game. So we'll see. But going back to this week, they're going to have to find a way to stop Julio Jones. They're going to have to get their blitzers after Matt Ryan and get him on the ground. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's got a rating of 114 right now, which is pretty solid. You know, they're going to have to make sure that if they don't stop Jones, that they're limiting Calvin Ridley, who's actually averaging more yards per catch than Jones, with a 17.6 average versus 17.3. Now, he's got 14 less catches, but when he's making the plays, he's making the plays. He's got 6 touchdowns through the first 4 games on 15 receptions. So he's another guy. You know, if you're going to put Joe Hayden on Julio Jones, do you trust Burns or Sensible or anybody to stop Ridley when he's averaging 17.6? You think they're not going to take the top off with one of those two guys, if not both? They're going to have to find a way to make plays. And more importantly, which I've been preaching for a very long time, they have to make adjustments at halftime. And that falls on Keith Butler, but that also falls on Mike Tomlin. I know Tomlin was screaming at Butler at halftime of the Ravens game, but Tomlin is supposed to be the general of this defense. They got rid of Dick LeBeau, so Tomlin could become more involved in the defense. And in those 3 or so years, I think it's been 3 years, the defense has gotten progressively worse. Now, yes, they should have fired Butler in the offseason. They didn't. They're paying for that now. His schemes suck. They have talent on that defense. Don't tell me that Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt aren't talented. Don't tell me Bud Dupree and TJ Watt aren't talented. Joe Hayden, certainly talented. Terrell Evans is young. He's talented. I actually think Artie Burns is talented, but man, does he look bad. Man, does he look bad. So something's got to give. And if Butler can't do it, Tomlin needs to spend his time in that defensive room, because I trust this offense way more than I trust this defense. That said, Randy Fichtner, not a great first 4 weeks of your offensive coordinator career. I've got to say that too. And something that nobody's really talking about that I have been wondering about is, are the offensive struggles related in any way to the fact that Landry Jones isn't here? I think it's a fair question. And you're going to say, well, what the hell are you talking about, Mike? Well, what I'm talking about is, no, Jones didn't go out there and play. Obviously, that's Ben's job, unless Ben were hurt. But Jones provided Roethlisberger with a plethora of information on the sidelines that most fans don't realize. And Roethlisberger referred to that when Jones was here and when Jones was released. And I'm not saying that Dobbs isn't doing that. I don't know. But we do know that Jones was telling Roethlisberger, I see this out of their defense. I saw this formation. This is something you may want to consider in terms of plays to call against this when they're showing X, Y, and Z. That's what Dobbs' job is right now. Now, nobody again is saying he's not doing it. Nobody's saying this is the reason why. But it's a possibility that part of the struggles are due to the fact that Landry Jones is not here. Just saying. I mean, we may be reaching, but I'm just saying. At this point, anything's possible. This team looks awful. They're 1-2-1 when they should absolutely minimum be 2-2. And they should probably be more like 3-1 with the talent they have, if not 4-0, quite frankly. But the honest truth is they could easily be 0-4 right now. They could easily be 0-4. They should have lost to the Browns when they tied. And they damn near lost to the Bucks. Let's be honest. They damn near lost to the Bucs. If they were playing on the road at Atlanta this week, I would be predicting a loss. And that's crazy because they haven't been able to win at home, but I am predicting a win. They need to have a quality first quarter. They have not done that in the last 3+ home games. Going back to the playoffs, you get behind early, the game plan goes out the window, which is part of the reason James Conner doesn't have the numbers that he possibly could. Let's be honest. You know, I give him a little bit of grief right now. Again, I think he's a great player overall. I think he's a good player, I should say. But, you know, part of the struggles aren't even his fault. They can't run the ball effectively when they get down 14 points within the first few minutes. It's just not possible. Defenses automatically know what you're going to do then, too, don't they? But they need to start strong. They need to have a good first quarter. They need to score first. They need to be the ones that go up 7 or 14 points immediately, not the other way around. Let the other team play a little catch-up for once. I think they're going to come out energized. I think this team has enough veteran leadership that they recognize that if they fall to 1-3-1 with a road game looming in Cincinnati, they're close to done. They're close to done. I think that the offensive talent they have is going to overtake any issues this week. I think they're going to put up 38 points against a weak secondary in Atlanta, who also has some injuries. I do think the defense is going to struggle as usual. They're going to give up 31 or 35. But the Steelers are going to come out of this thing 2-2-1. 38-35 will be my final call on that. And we will talk to you next week, hopefully after another Steelers victory.